chapter number 5. So good to see everybody. If you're visiting today, I recognize you right now. We are glad you're here. Amen. And we want you just to come on back. We're going to get into the word of the Lord now, and this is vital for the church and us. We've been studying these great Beatitudes. Now, that's not in the Bible, but Beatitude. That is an attitude that we ought to be. Amen. Now, attitude is a very important thing. How we perceive, how we look at things, the attitude we have will make us or break us. Our attitude determines our altitude. And so we've got to have the right frame of mind, amen, as we approach life. If not, we'll be ornery and bitter and mean and no good. Now, Matthew chapter 5 teaches us by the mouth of the Son of God. Now, how many's looking at it with me here? Verse 2 said, he opened his mouth and taught them. Praise God. Now, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Woo, somebody say amen. And so we're going to teach our lesson today is on down in verse number 6. But we're going to finish that verse up. But just as a little refresher, praise God, I want you to look at some of this. This came out of the mouth of God. How many knows that Jesus is equal with God the Father? Out of his mouth came the way to live. You say, I preached a little bit the last time on the hungering for righteousness. And I'm telling you, that's where the fountain of our living comes from, out of the will and desire of an individual when it is sanctified. Amen. And we desire. Do you know the reason we don't have more righteousness than we do? We just don't want it as bad as we ought to want it. That desire, that appetite. And I want to say this right here. Amen. The standard of holy living. How many knows what the standard of holy living is? Who is the standard? Who do we look to as an example of holy living? Huh? Are y'all confused about this? How about Joseph Smith? Confucius. I think Confucius is confused. How about Buddha? Now, y'all heard last week, I mentioned, some of them caught it. I really didn't mean to be caught, but I said, poor old Buddha is dead. He probably died of cholesterol problems. He had a big old belly. Huh? Muhammad is history. When we think about holiness, what is the standard of our holiness life? Who is our example? Oh, y'all catching on now. He is our example. Now we are not the standard. The Bible said, we ought to not measure ourselves by ourselves. Well, I'm living as good as he is. Well, that ain't saying much. Huh? The standard is Jesus. Now, where is the source of our holiness? Where does it come from? Come from within? Listen, our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. Now, that's dirtier than you really imagine. You know, you're studying that out. That's dirtier than you imagine. Our righteousness, self-righteousness. If we just get the books and try our best to keep the rules, it don't work. I've seen people keep rules and they get a kick out of rule keeping, so they start making rules that ain't even in the Bible. And they get hard and crusty and mean. And they give the name of Christ a bad name. Where is the source of our holiness? We know what the standard of our holiness is. What's the source of our holiness? Same. It's Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've got to get him. So that's what our desire, that's what our hunger and our thirst ought to be. We must intently seek him for more righteousness. Our prayer, I don't see how we can say too much, oh, God, give me that Hummer. Oh God, would you, and some of them guys, and I know sometimes people think I'm real critical, but there ain't no need just overlooking this stuff. But them old guys will get on there and they'll preach about prosperity. And they'll say, you know, you need this big deal. You need to get this. And their desires, more money and more of this. And God wants you to be prosperous and all that stuff. But yet, really, our desire, God's desire for our life is not even to be happy. How many understands what I'm saying? What he called us to was holiness. We are not called unto uncleanness. But we are called unto holiness. And our scripture, when the Lord begins to teach us here, and you can't argue with this. When the Lord begins to teach us, going down through here, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we went through that for weeks and weeks. You know, poor in spirit, that means to look within you and realize that you have nothing. You are nothing. You, without God, you can do nothing. So poor in spirit. And then it says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. Amen. Once we realize our weakness and our frailty, then we're grieved about it. Listen to me. I don't see how we can live in this world around. And I'm going to tell you what happens to you. Things at one time cause your mouth to drop open and cause you to go, oh, can't believe they said that. You get around it so long, it goes on, you get desensitized, and it don't mean nothing to you anymore. Are you listening to me? I couldn't believe it. Things I read in the newspaper this week. I mean, it aggravated me so bad. For days, I fumed over it. I couldn't believe that some of the stuff that are going on in this wide world. Amen. And, you know, we need to look within also. Not only do we need to look at the sins of the outer world and mourn and grieve over that, we ought to look inside. Listen to me now. We ought to look inside at our own sins, our own weakness, and our own shortcoming, and it ought to grieve us. Amen. You ought to not come and wait for the preacher to point it out and browbeat you and scold you over it. And you leave out here kind of half huffed over it. Amen. Your collar turned up and saying, I tell you what, when is he going to quit preaching on the hypocrites and feed us sheep once in a while? Huh? Hey, I'll tell you what you need to do. If you take care of that, the Bible said if you judge yourself, then you wouldn't have no worry about being judged by anyone else. Can somebody say amen? Oh, God, help me preach a little bit here this morning. Now, we're going on down to this. I'm just touching a little bit, and we're going to get done here. Blessed are the meek. And meekness, we went through this, is not weakness. Now, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Righteousness. They which do hunger, and we talked about that last week, or the last time we taught this lesson. We talked about the hunger, the appetite, the cravings of individual. Amen. The Bible said, set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. What did that mean? That means you set your affections on what you will set your affections on. And so our appetites, amen, we've got to have the appetite for holy things. Amen. Are y'all out there? I said, we've got to have an appetite for holy things. Amen. We've got a desire, righteous living, righteous deeds. Amen. We know where the source comes from. And so I mentioned before, and I'll mention again, there's several ways to incite an appetite in you. One of those ways is coming to the house of God for worship. That's why it's so vital for you to come to church. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So, cause when you're in a crowd of people doing right and the Spirit of the Lord is here, you get to wanting to do better. Now, how many of you have been in church? Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord come on you. Now, this has happened to me hundreds of times. Amen. God come by and bless you with his spirit. And when that spirit comes on you, when you settle down and you ponder it over, the thought in your heart is, I'd sure like to live better. Y'all hear me? How many has went through that? When you come to church and the preacher You know, that's why when the Holy Ghost comes on you, when I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I tell you, I wanted to live good when I got up. I've been slayed in the spirit a few times in my life, a couple of times. The power of God, brothers, they just fell on me once along in here and once right over in there. And I'm telling you, I felt such an awesome power of God. Amen. And I felt like I was in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you, I didn't feel like just going on out and doing my, I didn't even want to speak. I didn't even want to raise, I couldn't even raise a little finger. I felt in such awe and reverence for God. Amen. And I sure enough didn't want to say something that would offend him. I wanted to live right. I wonder, amen, here in the service this morning, what is it hindering us, amen, from living better and living good, and why are we sensual and carnal and worldly? Amen. I'll tell you what it is. Amen. We don't spend enough time in worship. Amen. Because when we enter into the worship of the Lord, what was it Isaiah said? When his king died and he went into the house of God, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. The glory that emanated from him filled the whole church house. And he said, as soon as he saw that glory, amen, he said, oh, I am an unclean man. Amen. I read the prayer this week, Brother Burdine, a prayer of Robert Mary McShane. I don't know if you, and I'm telling you, if you didn't know who was praying that, you'd have thought it was the worst serial killer, the sinner in the whole wide world. The way he said, oh God, amen. It was kind of, he wrote it in a journal, and he wrote and he said, I feel so wicked and I feel so unspiritual. And you know, it was a man of God. But what it was, he got in the presence of the Lord and God had showed him, amen, his glory. And when he saw his glory, amen, he wanted to be better. Amen. God said, be ye holy, even as I am holy. And what that means is, you can be holy because I'm holy. And because I'm holy, you ought to have a desire to be holy. Amen. Our life, amen, and our motivation for holiness is wanting to be like him. Oh, come on now. Surely, Lord, ain't y'all going to help me preach a little bit? I'm going to just get right on into this. But the worship and the word of God. Hey, now listen, I know this is simple. Woo! Let me ask you, before I leave, you know, when we got saved, I'll tell you what I did. All I can say is my own experience. But I wanted to be loose from my sins. That's why I got saved. They were binding me. I felt dirty. I felt conviction. I felt guilt. So how come me to get saved is I got under conviction and I got a desire to be right. That's what a hunger. You can't even get saved without a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Now, when I got saved, the Lord forgave me like that. Like that. I was cleansed from every stain of sin like that. Clean. White clean. But that hunger, amen, when I got saved, though that instantaneous salvation saved me from my sins, amen, it put a hunger in me to walk right. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't even own a Bible. I went and bought a Bible. And I started reading it. And as I read it from a saved perspective, it led me along the path of righteousness. I didn't go in there looking for excuses to do wrong or looking for a way out or an exit from this road. I wanted to stay clean. I'd got the burden of my sin. Amen. And the Bible said, how might a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. Now, what will incite in you a hunger, amen, for righteousness is the word of God. Can you say amen? I know this is simple, and I got about 3 more minutes of this, and we're going into the reward of this requirement. The requirement was, you gotta have a hunger, you gotta thirst. We're gonna get what we hunger after. And here's but the last point here that I want to mention is very simple. We got to worship. That's why we've got to come to church. That's why the devil fights you so hard to keep you from going into the assembly. You say, and we could sit back and say, well, what, What's the deal? Just going to be Brother Deskin's down there. What can he do for me? It's just going to be Tommy and Lois. What can they do? Sing a little bit. Holler amen. And when we look at it like that, we're all just human. What's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you what the big deal is. God sanctioned the assembling of ourselves together. It ain't the fact that, or is it the fact that we're all here together? The fact is God ordained it and he sanctioned it and he said this, and this is what makes all the difference in the world. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. Woo. There I am, says, am I in the midst of them. Now, what makes a difference is he is here. Amen. You say, I don't feel him. Well, he's still here. Amen. You know what causes the jumping and running and bouncing sometimes is our feelings. Praise God. Now, just cause we're not feeling it don't mean he ain't here. He's here. And we're obeying the unction from God. Now, the word of God. Amen. And I know we're busy people and I'm a preacher and that's what I do full time. But brother, it still takes a great effort to find that time to read over that book. Amen. And not just read it, but study that book. But when you study that book, amen, it incites a hunger in you to live right. Hey, there's no way. I went under some persecution a few years ago, and I mean, people were telling me, and preachers and churches were just laughing and mocking and wanting to challenge me on holiness beliefs. And I mean, tell you, got me to studying, and I'm telling you, I got to study and reading the Bible. And I'm telling you, from one cover of that book to the other, it is holiness all the way through. Now you can't deny it. I said, you cannot deny it. Amen. The Bible even said in there that without holiness, you never see God. Amen. The Bible said you were called unto holiness. Amen. And it also said if you despise it, you don't despise man, but you despise God. And brother, everywhere you look, amen, you can go anywhere in the Bible and you'll find the holiness righteous message. Amen. He says, look, I want you to be clean. I want you to be made whole. I want you set free from sin. Amen. And so there's one other aspect before we go on. Amen. Not only is it the worship and the word of God, amen, but he said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Watching is being diligent and praying. There's two phases of that watching. You've got to be diligent and walk circumspect, looking about you and watching for the enemy, and you've got to pray. Amen. How many knows if you never get, and I'm not talking about just praying over your sausage biscuit as you go through Hardy's window. Huh? I'm talking about if we don't pray, we lose our appetite. Listen to me. We lose our appetite for holy things. Praise God. And I got to hurry. Now this world, their appetite, and a lot of church world, a lot of church people, they lose their appetite for holy things, and you're going to have an appetite for something. But here's the sad part about it. You get people that hunger after popularity. They hunger after a place in the world. They hunger after the material things of the world, and they get those things many times because whatever they motivate themselves for, they'll get. But here's the sad part about it. They do not get satisfied. Now, how many knows that's true? You try it and you get it and you obtain it, and really ambition is not a bad thing under control. Amen. That's right. Money is kind of like a fire. Amen. If you control it, it can warm you in the winter. But if you let it get out of control, it'll burn your house down. Can somebody say amen? So we got to put it in perspective, but we've got to watch our appetite. If our appetite, and I've dealt with young people for years and years and years, and I watch young people and the things they talk about and the things they look at, and you know, you can take them on a trip and they'll talk about the TV shows and the movies and the rock singers that they like. You say, you mean church people will? Oh yeah. I don't know where they influence all that, but it comes in some way. And here's the deal. And it grieves your heart, but you know, we've got to hold up the Son of God. And we've got us inside in them somehow or another an appetite to pray, an appetite to read the Bible, an appetite to go to church. Amen. And an appetite for God and God's holiness and God's righteous living. Are you going to help me preach a little bit? Amen. I'll tell you what. The Bible said, blessed is he. Happy is the man or woman that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, what's that mean? That's our reward. Amen. But, you know, a lot of people want to look at the promise of the Bible and not the precept of the Bible. Huh? They want to gain this, being filled, but you got to remember the precept. In order to be filled with righteousness, you've got to desire righteousness. Hunger after righteousness. Thirst after righteousness. Not just come to church, a holiness church, and try to be clear of every time the preacher goes crazy and shoot, boom, with his scatter gun, and boom, he missed me, ha ha! That ain't what it's all about. It's getting a hunger in your heart that you come, and if holiness is preached or whatever, amen, you say, that's right. I've experienced that. That's true. Huh? Now, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall. I like that word. How many knows that that's a pretty positive word? Now, shall is not like maybe. Shall is a little more sure than maybe. You see, I learned this long ago. I probably didn't learn it near early enough. But I found out that you can preach your standards out of the Bible to people. And they may listen, and they may even agree with you, but they're not going to live it until they get a hunger. So one of the biggest jobs, like in the school here, when you do the studying for the teacher's study, supervisor's study, PACES, they'll tell you in there the job of the teacher is not to teach. You say, well, that's what's wrong with my kid. Now, just listen to me. You know, to teach them what we know, it doesn't help them know. That's just like some of y'all that know how to, you know, do something mechanical. You know, just to impress everybody with your knowledge doesn't necessarily implant that knowledge in these individuals. But they said the job of us as teachers is to motivate a child to learn. You say, well, brother, what's the difference? Well, there's a big difference. Because if you can motivate him to learn, you know the old saying, which is the best, to give a child a fish or teach him to fish? Which is best in the long term? Huh? Is to teach him to fish. Now, what we do with holiness, God said, this is it. If we can get inside a hunger, if people will get hungry and thirsty, if you come to church tonight and your hunger is more of God than when the preacher says, let's worship God, it won't be. Will it? Will y'all say, oh, me? I mean, if we get hungry, that's right. If we get hunger for more of God when we see the precept and the promise that is offered, how many believes in this? Here's the promise. The promise is if you get hungry for righteousness, you're going to be filled. Filled with what? Righteousness. That's the thing. More righteousness. How many thinks there's a little room in our lives for a little more righteousness? Where's the hunger? Sometimes we think we've arrived. We get up and say, I thank God for saving me, sanctifying me, praying for me, go in God's will. And that's it. But you know, once we get saved and it cleanses us from righteousness, we've got a walk to do. We have a walk. We have a continual hungering walk to gain more of God, get closer to God. Can you say, man? Now, here's the deal. I'm almost done. They shall be filled with righteousness. Now, and I want you to think of this field. The other day, Sister Ethel May said something about someone had told her that we weren't a vessel, but we were a channel. And I understand what they were saying, but we are a vessel, you know, because the Bible said we were. And it said we were to present ourselves. But here's where that's at. And I understand what that meant, the channel, you know, you're going from one. But here's the way we do that, being a vessel. It's when we get filled to the overflow. And when it flows over, amen. We are still full, but we're helping those around about us. We need to be filled with righteousness. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. We've got to live our life. The Bible said, let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The world is watching us. They'll probably never see Jesus till he comes on the clouds. But they're going to watch your life. And you know, if we lie and cheat and are irreverent, hateful, mean, curse, you know, there's people go to church, even pastor churches, that men have told me, I work on the job of this man. And I know people lie on people sometimes. But I've had several people say, this man pastors a church, and if he gets in a bind, he'll just cuss. Whoa. I mean, say dirty words. Y'all know what cuss is, don't you? It's curse. But what makes people do that? I mean, they're watching. What does people think about these people? You say, well, brother, listen, we're supposed to live right? Yes, we're supposed to live right. We're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We've got to have a lifestyle, amen, that is blameless before God. So you say, well, I can't do that. God can. We can do all things through Christ. You mean you never fail? Sure, you'll fail. But here's the deal. It's like the Lord spoke to me the other day. You may try and fail, but just don't fail to try. You got to keep trying. You got inside a hunger. I want to ask, when was the last time you took your own self to the altar and said, oh, God, I want to be better when I get up from here. I want to be more like you. I want to have a more tender heart. I want to be more sanctified. I want to have more of the thoughts of Christ. Help me, Lord. But you know what? Oh, I feel like preaching to my church. I'm going to get voted out before I get my steeple in. What a tragedy. But I'm going to tell you, you know why we're no better? We've quit asking him. We've quit desiring it. We're happy with the way we are. We're stuck with this. But it's not so. We don't have to be. We ought to get up, put ourselves in the altar. Say, God, it's me. Help me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Stand up in me. Let the world know. Raise your flag. Let them know you're a child of God. Hallelujah. Oh, boy, am I off target? Now, they shall be filled. Who's going to do the filling? By who? Who do you imagine this scripture? Who's going to do the filling? God Almighty is going to fill you. He's going to fill you with righteousness, holiness, sanctified living. He's going to do it. And he's going to, and to fill, that word fill, I looked that word up this morning, Brother Bernard. That word is a big word. I know it's just F-I-L-L, but that word fill, don't take this personal now. 4 more minutes and we're out to the chicken, okay? Listen to this. Don't take this personal, but that same word is used in the Greek. It is used like when you take an animal in the stall and fatten him up. Pardon the expression. I shouldn't have used that word. But that's what it is. We need to be full, that full of holiness. When you talk about a revival, we can have, if everybody in this church, including the pastor, would get an overpowering hunger for more of righteousness. Brother, we'd come to church and it would just change us, wouldn't it? It would change us. They shall be filled. Now, we're going to go on to another beatitude, but here's an attitude that we ought to be. How many understand that this is an attitude we ought to be? That hunger, that thirst for righteousness. Huh? We've got to have it. And the Lord said he'd fill us. He'd fill us up. Now, what that word also means, and I'm almost done, what that word also means is they will be satisfied. Now, if you don't think this is a great attribute to have, brother, when you get that point in your life when you finally surrender that all to God and God is filling you with righteousness, then you don't need anything else. What was the little woman said at the well? Jesus told her, said, if you knew who I was and the gift of God, you'd ask of me and I'd give you water and you'd never thirst again. And she said, give me this water. I want this water. Because she had run her, she had 5 husbands. That's enough. It's one of the women still in her right mind. Huh? And the one she had now was not her own. You know, and here she is, her reputation is shot, her life is shot, everything she's tried hadn't worked. All of that stuff she'd read in the Glamour magazine, supposed to make her, you know, top of the line, it just failed her. But now here's a man that says, if you'll drink of this water I give you, you won't thirst again. You won't be in that again. And she said, I want it. I'm going to give you something that'll satisfy you. How many knows old time religion? Amen. It'll take the hunger and thirst for everything else out. It'll do it. It'll do it. Now, we can backslide and get ourselves in a position, you know, that we lose focus on the Word of God and lose focus on the Bible and holiness and get around a crowd that's talking about all this stuff out here in the world, and it'll tilt you away from God and you'll lose your desire for it. But if we'll stay where we ought to stay, do our praying, read our Bible, surrender our heart to God in worship, amen, it'll incite in us a hunger. Boy, I tell you what, I'd love to be in church tonight. Boy, I tell you what, I wish I had time to read some of that book right there. Boy, I tell you what, first chance I get, I'm going to find me a place to pray. How many has been through that?